I do a lot of praying anymore. Well, tonight, like I said, it's a complete a cappella night tonight. Pastor asked me Sunday if I'd give a message on Wednesday. He knew he was going to be hurting. Of course, I said yes, and that volume is off. I've checked it. I'm telling you. I have no clue. Give me just a second here. Make sure. I don't like these phones. I need the time. I'll just put it down here so nobody can hear it. I said yes. This is a long walk, or a big step in my Christian walk. So bear with me tonight, please. I was saved as a kid, and like most, I made a lot of bad choices and some good choices throughout my life. I kind of did have to restart a Christian walk. And this is a big step for me tonight. I was, when I first started back walking with God, I was a Moses and a Jonah. I hesitated. When he asked me Sunday night, I did not hesitate. So it's a big step for me. So please be patient. I probably have a short message, so I hear. Pastor and Ninja. Well, let me open with a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you tonight. I come to you humble. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a Christian serving you. You called me for tonight, Lord, and I'm answering. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit and open the congregation's hearts and minds and to receive your message, because this is your message, not mine. And I thank you so much, God, and I just ask this in your name, amen. The title of this message is Preparation of the Gospel of Peace. Oh, those got dirty quick. When Pastor asked me to give a message, I prayed, and prayed a lot. I'm not a pastor. I've said that, but I'm not a pastor as of yet, or may never be. I don't know. But I am a Christian, and we are all commanded to preach the gospel. However, it's not a pastorship, but we do have to preach the gospel. And I thought to keep it simple and basic, this is what God wanted me to preach. That's it. It's the preparation of the gospel of peace. If you'd open your Bibles, the main text is Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And here's the key. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching them to observe all things. That's what I want you to focus on tonight. Because observing is not just watching. When we observe rules, we observe them by doing them. And that was, this is actually funny. I knew scripture in my head, and I was reading it, and I couldn't find where it said that we as Christians are supposed to preach the gospel. We aren't all called to be pastors, but we have to preach the gospel. And so I called Pastor, told him I couldn't find it. I was looking, and He said, yeah, Matthew 28. And I'm like, that's what I'm reading. And when I got to that point, he told me stop. And that's where it is, observe. And that's the key word, is to observe what has been done before us and to continue on as though we were authoritative like the disciples. So, so prior to this, the preparation of the gospel of peace is what we're supposed to preach as a Christian. And if you go to Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, I know Dana's probably trying to keep up with me here. He's like, what? Ephesians 6 is the armor of God. And that's 11 through 18. And I'll read it here. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, is that 16? 18. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So that scripture tells us that we are to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. That means we are to do something with it, because we're not going to put something on our shoes if we ain't going nowhere. And it's not a hard, it's not hard. So my first point is this, is it's the Christian's responsibility, it's actually a commandment from God, that we preach the gospel. No, we're not pastors. We're not all bishops. We're not all whatever. But we are all to preach the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're supposed to shine for Jesus. We're supposed to give to others what we have received ourselves. You don't have to be a philosophy scientist or whatever to do it. It's how you became saved is all you really need to share. Is Jesus' love is the main part. Invite them to church. If some people struggle with social problems, you know, just tell them Jesus loves you and invite them to church. And there's always somebody here who can talk. So there's a commandment to preach and to teach all nations, to teach and so on and so on and so on, Christians teaching Christians. We as Christians are supposed to spread the gospel to non-believers and them to do the same, so on and so forth. So that's the first point, is it's our commandment, it's our responsibility from God that we should share the gospel to all nations, to everybody, not just rich people, but, you know, people that you wouldn't necessarily be inclined to talk to. I know it seems scary sometimes, but you have to have your faith in God, and you just have to, when he whispers in your ear, you got to jump on it and just let them know Jesus loves them. You know, preach the gospel to them. You can run them through the Romans road of salvation, but we're getting to that. So that's my first point. My second point is more of a question, but it's a point. How are we supposed to know what to preach? How do we know what to preach? For that, we have to spend time in the Word. And that's where I was supposed to tell you the story about the pastor, but that's okay. Spend time in the Word. If you turn to 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 15. 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 15. if I 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are supposed to study his word. We need to study the word of God, not only to know what to say to others, but also to know what we need for ourselves. Because inside the scripture, in helping others, we are also helping ourselves. We're healing ourselves, teaching ourselves. And we just need to study. Me, I'm a pretty slow reader sometimes. And I have long work days. So I listen to the Word of God. Constantly have it running. Either that or praise and worship songs. I try to fill my whole day with God. I try. I try very hard. And that helps me to keep my mind focused on the Word of God so I can keep myself, my own spirit, healthy so that when it comes time for somebody who needs help, I'm there and I'm ready and able to talk to them. That can be the hardest hurdle for us as Christians to get over as young Christians. We don't always like to, I don't know why, but we don't like to talk to so many people all the time. It's a struggle. But if you just take one person, one little phrase, just, hey, you look like you're hurting. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You could lift their whole day. Invite them to church. Say, hey, you know, I go to a great church, Florence Baptist Church. Would you like to come there? You know, offer them a ride, something. There's always some little thing. We can just plant a little seed, and you'd be amazed how far it can grow. We don't do it for vanity. We just do it for God. But we do have to keep our spirits healthy in order to be able to help others. And that's the other reason that we need to be in the Word daily. So that's my second point, is how are we supposed to know what to preach? My third point is hopefully going to be a little bit longer so I can prove Pastor and Nancy wrong. But anyway, I'm just teasing. No, I'm teasing. It was a short message, but there was a lot to it. And as I was writing this, I got to tell you this part before I move on. As I was writing it, if you were to look at these, you'd see some scratches in here. And you'd see things out of order in this place over here and over there. It's important when you're studying the Word and you really have to ask God, what does He mean? I have ADD. And a little PTSD. So I got some squirrel trails and rabbit holes. And I can get lost. This message could have gone so many different ways. But I had to really focus on God. And I had to pray about every 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Is this what He wanted me to say? Because this message, like I said earlier, is not mine. It's from God. So it's to talk to everybody. And this is a message for myself. God gave to me. This is something I need to do better on. So that being said, my third point is not everybody's going to be receptive to it. And this is a really good point that I really need to get out to you guys, because preaching the gospel of peace is really, we put our whole heart into it. You know, we see someone hurting. We really want to help them. And then for them to reject it could be just devastating, heartbreaking. You can lose motivation. You can kind of recluse back into a hole. You can hear hurtful things like, well, I know I've known you for 20 years. You're a sinner, so So why should I change? You know, you just put on a suit. So you can hear things like that. But we can't let that discourage us. We can't let it get us down. We have to brush off our feet and move on with a smile, because that's what God would want. So plant the seed and see what happens. If you'll turn with me again to Luke chapter 10, verse 16, Luke has something to say about this. Chapter 10, verse 16. Where'd it go? He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So the point here is what Luke says, or what Jesus says in the book of Luke, is that they're not rejecting you. They're not despising you for what you're doing. They're despising and rejecting Jesus Christ. They're rejecting their own salvation through Jesus Christ. It's not personal to you. You just struck that nerve on them that where they're hurting, and it struck their nerve. And it's okay. At that point, you really, if they reject that, you honestly just remind them, hey, you know, Jesus does love you. I understand you're not ready yet. You know, hand them a tract. They'll probably tear it up, throw it, whatever. But let them know, hey, the church is always open when you're ready. Because until they're ready, they're not going to accept anyways. Because they have to accept it in their heart fully. So what I wrote down for that was, remember, you are the vessel, and God is the one who calls them and convicts them. God calls them, not us. God convicts their hearts, not us. God just makes sure we're in place at the right time for that purpose, to be able to spread the gospel to them. And he will take care of that. You'll likely hear lots of excuses. Most people have been polite, and in my experience, some will get angry. Remember, you are the Christian example for when they lose it. You're the Christian example, so you have to keep that in mind, because you don't want to run them off. You just, because we're honestly in this for soul winning, to win everybody to Jesus Christ so we can all be a happy family in heaven. If they reject the message, they're not rejecting you personally, they're rejecting Jesus. And that's the third point, is that not everybody's going to receive it. What time is it? I'm tearing it up. I beat 15 minutes, though. Anyways, I'm on my fourth and final point. So it is getting close. But this is a big point. This is a really big point. And I know God doesn't care about time. He cares whether or not you receive this message. What gospel are we preaching? King James Version is the most accurate from what I hear and as far as I can tell. I can't speak or read Hebrew, so I wouldn't know. But I have read the differences that Pastor put up, a list of differences a while back. If you want that, email Pastor, ask him, he'll give you. NIV, EVB, ESVB, so many different. If you want to know if somebody's got a King James Bible, ask them to turn to Daniel chapter 13. It's not in the King James Version Bible at all. And there are lots of other differences. Now, we here at this church, and me personally, I used to like an NIV because it's easy read. But I like the King James Version now because I've seen those differences, and I understand in important verses, it reads differently. The comprehension of the meaning of the verse changes in a lot of other Bibles. And that's not good. Because we need to understand that capital L is Lord. It's not just any Lord. It's talking about our Lord, the one risen Savior Lord. Serena has had to get an NIV Bible for her college class. She hates it. She hates it, but it's just for studying. But what gospel are we preaching? More specifically, we as Christians, not pastors, are preaching salvation to non-believers. We're also preaching amongst each other with fellowship, you know, getting closer with each other, building a family. But we're preaching salvation to the lost, and it's very important to preach salvation to the lost. We have to bring them in as soon as we can, because we don't know how much time we got. And there are a lot of verses in the Bible that can be used. Genesis starts, and, you know, Genesis to Acts is generally for the Jews, but you can go to almost anywhere in this Bible and bring it around to a salvation message. Just bring it around, because it is through the faith of our salvation that we're saved. Without our faith, we got nothing. But it's through the faith. It's through Jesus' blood. But even at that, remember, unless God is calling them, they're probably not apt to listen to you. So you can push only so hard until they walk away or get mad. So just remember, unless God's calling them, they may not listen. But you can still plant that seed. You can still plant that seed, and you can tell them, good day, Jesus loves you, and you can walk away. And throughout that person's life, it'll be planted. Whether it grows and blossoms and blooms or not, that's up to God and that individual. The Romans road is the most simplified way that I've seen. I learned it here. I did know a lot of them, but I understood the method from this church. The Romans road is what we use the most around here. John 3:16 is called a mini Bible, a Bible in one verse. And that is what, that's the scripture that I was saved with. I was in Awanas. My dad was there. That was awesome. Now, at my age, looking back and thinking, because I was 12, in Awanas, been studying scripture for a few years, doing all the sports. My dad helped out so much with Awanas. We were a part of Awanas, mom, the girls. But looking back, and when I think about it, my dad was there when I was saved. That's just awesome. I remember as a little kid, we were in Awanas. There was a bunch of people up. They were going over. They went over John 3:16. I just felt it, and I got up, and I came forward. They also used a little, do you remember the jar with the candle in it? You know how you can close it off, and the light goes out. Don't hide your candle. Don't hide your light under a bush. That was their demonstration. Oh, as a kid, that was just, stuff was so neat to me back then. And I did know that I needed to be baptized. The pastor made me wait and take a test to make sure I understood. And I still goofed up. I still made mistakes throughout my life. A lot of mistakes. I got a little bit away. I came back. Got a little away. Came back. It wasn't until a few years ago where I really started walking as a Christian. And God has just blessed me so much since then that there's no way to know where I might go next. I have no clue. I hope he doesn't send me to Africa. No, I don't know. But it's up to God. And here's the thing. I need to be receptive to Him. And that's a big step in a Christian walk. You have to pay attention to the whispers, and you have to jump in when He says jump. You have to be ready to jump. And that's hard. But let me get on with this here. Like I said, the Romans Road, I do generally start with John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's a very common verse. Most of us know it and memorize it. That lets the person know that God loves them and God loves us. If He loves somebody so much that while we're still sinning, He would send His Son down to be beaten and crucified and died and buried, and then risen again 3 days later, just to save us, just to have us, who naturally just sin against Him, with Him in heaven. That's a love that I just can't understand, to sacrifice His own Son and to watch it. It's just got to be crazy. And then I usually go into Romans 3:23. And that lets them know that they are no worse than anybody else. A sin is a sin. It's the Bible has different sayings about different sins, and some get worse punishments. But a sin, if you sin against God, if it's a little lie to a little girl to stop her crying, or whether you're murdering somebody, if you're sinning, you're breaking. You're sinning against God, and you're losing that connection with God. And that's what God looks at it as, is a sin hurts God, and He can't look upon sin. So now He can't look upon you. No matter what the sin was, the sin still is bad. So none of us are any worse than anybody else, and we can all be saved. Hitler could be saved. We will probably meet a Jew that was told by God to minister to Hitler. That would be rough if you know what I mean? I was thinking about that when I was going through the message. I was like, if I was a Jew, but I believed, and God told me in my heart that I had to minister to Hitler and tell him that Jesus loves him and He could stop this at any time, that would be terrible. That'd be a hard one to do. But, you know, I don't know if He did. You know, Romans 3:23, sorry, I got a little off track. And sometimes I get them mixed up in my head, so I do read them out of the Bible. I always have a Bible on me somewhere, no matter where I'm at. 3:23, of course, you know, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. Everybody has sinned. We're probably going to continue to sin. But we're still, as Christians, we're covered, but we have to repent. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got to let them know. You don't have to yell at them. You don't have to tell them they're going to hell. But you do got to let them know. They have to realize that they are a sinner, and they have to want to change their life. And then I'll go on there to Romans 6:23. And I missed it. There we go. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's a penalty for our sin, and it's death. Has been since the beginning, and it's going to be until God comes and gets us. Everybody. And even after that at the judgment. The penalty is going to be death. This short life that we have is nothing compared to an eternity in hell. There's nothing compares. That's our penalty. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's one of the big parts of the gospel of peace right there. And that's what we need to make sure they understand, that if they're willing to repent and change their ways, their gift is free, and it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then to normally top most of it off, I go to Romans 10:13. That's another well-known one. And that's 9:13, so that's not going to help me. 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the one thing I believe very extremely hard. This is how we accept salvation. There's a lot of people that'll say, I'm saved. I believe. Satan believed. He was there. He believes. He's not going to heaven. We need to call upon his name. And I believe, as Billy Graham did, it needs to be publicly. We need to believe publicly. We need to come up, raise our hand, come up and say, I believe. Face the congregation, face the outside world, get baptized. It needs to be public. Something publicly, about publicly, really sets it in stone in our hearts and in our minds. And it's a showing of faith. And I believe faith has to have actions or it is dead. So that's a big one right there. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. And it's got to be inside yourself. It has to be internal. And same with being a Christian and wearing these shoes or being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's inside you. It's inside everybody. And it's important that we try to bring in as many as we can to let them know that, hey, Jesus loves you. He wants you in heaven with me. Yes, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I've asked for forgiveness. Is it seven? Ooh. Anyway, like I said, time to God is not important. Whether we get the message is the important thing. And that's what I do normally. It always depends on a situation. If you're in a different situation, there we go. We need to study so that we're ready to handle the situations. There are lots of other verses. If you need to know some, let me know. Get with me. Ephesians has a lot that deals with some. Matthew has a lot that deals with many issues, many, many excuses you might have because somebody's getting a little scared. Because they're ready to change, but they're a little bit scared, and they just need a little bit of confidence, a little bit of guidance. So, and here's my closing. Listen to your heart. Is God calling you? Is he calling you? If so, listen to him. Because now is the accepted time, right now. We don't know how long we have. Right now is what we have to accept messages and to be saved and to go get people who aren't saved. Now's the time. We don't know when we're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But salvation is eternal. So I invite you all to accept salvation today, you on the internet or you here, whichever, you know. I can't judge you. I don't know you. You all know your hearts. But I do invite you today to be saved or, you know, to dedicate yourself to preaching the gospel of peace, because as Christians we are commanded to. If you want to help others, help others. If you need help helping others, let us know. There is help available. Yep, that's my biggest thing right there, is help others. Have what you have. Somebody helped you get here. Let's keep it going. Let's fill a church. Let's fill three churches. Let's get rejected. Whatever God has planned. But let's be out there preaching the gospel of peace for God, because that's what we're called and commanded to do. So I was told we don't have a invitation on Wednesday nights. I thought we did. I could have sworn it was on here. But we don't. But if you want to have an invitation, let me know. If you guys want to come up here, I'll sing. If y'all want to come up and pray, if you want more blessings, if you want to be the guy that's raising your hand and yelling out blessings every Wednesday, Sunday nights, let me know right now. I'll sing a song, and y'all can come up and pray. No? Well, good. Well, let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you for this message tonight. Please open our hearts. Whether it hit us tonight, whether it hits us tomorrow, the next day, next week, Father God, let this message of yours be heard and be received. I just ask that you keep me humble. I know I've received a message, and I need to work myself harder at getting out the gospel of peace. And I just ask that you give us all strength and guidance on that, Father. And I ask that if anybody here or on the YouTube or Facebook needs to get saved, you've heard the gospel, please accept God. Accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Accept his gift of salvation. Email the church. Send Pat, call pastor. Do something. Let us know if that was your choice tonight. We'd be love to hear from you. And Father God, we just ask that if anybody needs anything, that they'll contact us and let us know, whether publicly or privately. Just let us know if they need help, and we can help them, Father God. And we send these people back out into the world to face their normal daily struggles. God, we ask that you be with them and that you guide them and that you give them comfort and strength and peace. And we ask this in your Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Oh, thank you. Well, that's not me. Well, thank you.